I've ordained that change, and that change is coming, and it's of me. And if you'll do better, if you won't buck me, just go with me, because I've got you from the beginning to the end, and I'm going to see you through. And the devil wants to talk you out of change, because we're always afraid of what we're going to lose out the other side. And I'm going to tell you that you're not losing anything. The same God that ordained the change is the same God that's going to be adding to your life. So don't worry. Don't walk in fear. Change is scary because it's unknown. Change is scary because it's unknown. We don't know what to expect. But hey, what we know is that we can always expect for God to be God. Amen.
Amen.
I am going to have a period where I pray for people in this service, but I'm going to get warmed up before I do that. I haven't completely sprung forward yet, if you know what I mean. Go with me this morning. Actually, stand to your feet. Let's pray together. For everyone where you've lacked peace, I'm going to just ask you right now to open that part of your heart up that's been in chaos. Let God take that out of you and let Him minister peace to you right now. I see a lot of chaos and I see a lot of unrest. So God, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, you are not the author of confusion, but God, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, God, right now, I speak to every chaotic place in us. Lord, every place in our soul that's not at rest. And God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I loose that peace of God that passes all understanding. I tell it to guard our heart, and I tell it to guard our mind. Lord, I thank you right now for the change that's coming. God, I thank you that you've ordained it. God, I ask that you'd give us the peace to walk to it right now in Jesus' name. I speak a healing over the bodies in this place right now, God, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I speak to depression and every other wrong spirit that could have attached itself to us right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for the Spirit of God that's moving and it's flowing in our life. God, I thank you right now to take everything from us that's not of you. God, if it's not from you, God, we don't want it. Somebody needs to grab a hold of that. Lord, if it's not from you, God, we don't want it. Lord, if it is not from you, God, we don't want it. God, we don't want anything that is not for us. But God, I thank you right now for all the things, for all the people, for all the blessing, for all the healing, God, that you've ordained for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all go with me this morning to Psalms chapter 42. We're going to begin to read at verse 5. I want to talk to you this morning about your health. And I want to talk to you about hope. How many of you like steak? I love a good steak. We're going to have steak today. The meat of the word. This is not an elementary message. This is the meat of the word this morning. Psalm chapter 42, verse 5. The conversations that we have with ourselves are some of the most important conversations that we can have. You need to self-reflect. You need to have conversations with yourself. And you see that laced all in the Bible where powerful people, they talked to themselves. They told themselves certain things. They got alone and they had conversations with themselves, and they got some things right with them and God in those conversations. Now, many theologians and all of that, you know, I just like the Bible. You know, give me the Bible. Give it to me for what it is. I don't want opinions. I want what the Word says. People believe that the author of Psalm 42 was David. I personally believe that, but it doesn't ever completely say that, so I'm not going to sit here and say that. But Psalms chapter 42, verse 5, here's a conversation that's being had. Why are you downcast, O my soul? This person's saying, why are you down? Why are you broken? Why are you upset? Why are you depressed? Why? You know, there's times where you need to have a conversation with yourself and you need to ask yourself, self, why are we like this? Why are you down? Why are you hurting? Why are you discouraged? Because there's many, many times where the devil has come in and he has perverted some things in our heart and in our mind, and we don't know why we're offended. We don't know why we're depressed. We don't know why one moment we're up and the next moment that we're down. See, it's important that you know who you are. You have to know who you are, because the devil, in every turn and twist that you take, he is constantly trying to get you to be somebody else that you aren't, that you're not supposed to be. You've got to know who you are, and you've got to know who you are in him, and you've got to know when something is wrong inside of you. If you're upset all the time, you got to understand why. You need to search yourself, and here is a conversation. Why are you downcast, O my soul? This verse is addressing very deep emotional distress, depression, discouragement. And notice that he says, O my soul. O my soul. At the very root of you, you're a soul. And souls are the only thing going to heaven or hell. And it's important that you have your soul in order. And I'm going to stop telling people to get ready for the coming of Jesus, because here's what I'm telling you now. You best be ready. Stop wasting all your time getting ready, thinking it's something that you can put off and procrastinate. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we stop doing the very thing that we know is wrong. Today is the day that we stop making excuses for doing the wrong thing. See, this is your life, and you're not living another one. You're living right here, and you're living right now. And the Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that they will be saved. If you find yourself in a moment and in a season where you say, God, I need you to save me. Most of the time, you're asking God to save you from yourself. But there's conversations that need to be had. And I'm looking for people not to fill the pew, but to fill heaven. And we need to get some things right. Amen. Why are you downcast, O my soul? When is the last time you had a conversation and you asked your soul why some things weren't going the way that you wanted them to go? Amen. Why so disturbed within me? See, people are very disturbed right now. And people are very at rest, if that's even a word. We ain't restful, not our soul. You ever notice how, CC, everybody's so agitated and people live on the edge? It's not like they're getting close to it. They're on it. That's how we can step out of line so quickly. That's how believers step out of line so quickly. It's because we're not just getting to the edge, we're there. And you need to begin to ask yourself, why am I there? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. See, the author of this verse, there was a need to do some self-preaching. Self-preaching. And we see that here in this verse. He asks himself, why are you downcast, O my soul? Then he says, why are you so disturbed within me? And then we see with that verse, it shifts into self-preaching. You're going to have to preach to yourself. If you think for one second that Pastor Kelly gets you into heaven, you're wrong. If you think that listening to me for 45 minutes every Sunday is getting you there, you're wrong. You couldn't be further than the truth, because the Word of God tells you to work out your own salvation. And He tells you to do it in a specific manner. He says, with fear and with trembling. But you know why, Jill? Because sometimes when we get to working out the salvation, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, because God will tell you when you are wrong. God will tell you when you're off. God will tell you when you're sinning. Look here, if God was face to face with you today and He said, you are on your straight way to hell, see, you'd have to deal with that. And yet the pastor can't even preach about things because they're worried. Look here, I get less worried every day. Because here's what I know. The very second that I say things that don't just tickle people's ear, I'm going to find out who's really with me. Amen. And here's what I know, Billy, more than everybody else, and people in here is important to me, but I want God to be with me. God has backed me my entire life. God will back you as long as your life parallels with the Word of God. I'm going to encourage you today, stop making some dumb excuses. I'm going to get down to where we live. If you're looking for somebody that's going to preach it to you and preach you in a nice way, you got the wrong pastor. Because I'm going to preach to you where we live. And where we live is down and dirty.
Amen.
It ain't pretty. Therefore, there ain't a pretty way to say it. You got a pretty pastor and that's it. But I ain't packaging this up for you in a nice little sweet package. Because that ain't worked. Look at what we're living in. We got Christians walking out of the church thinking that filth is fine. Filth is not fine. And no, none of us are fine, by the way.
Amen.
I want to rock you to your very core where we get out there and we live different.
Amen.
Put your hope in God. Here's self-preaching. You got to be able to preach to yourself. When you get off, you got to be able to say, no, we're not going to do that. Me and all my 15 personalities, no, we're not going there today. And we don't need to act like none of us have got multiple personalities. We all do. People are like, oh my gosh. I've been in the people business too long to think otherwise. I can tell you that. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Is anybody hot in here? Brother Jim, put us some air conditioner on. I'm 40. I can't tell if I'm hot or cold. Lots of weird things going on. Just wait. Yeah. Now, don't get comfortable because we're going to be a part of the service. God didn't call you here to just sit there. We've done too much of that. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. And here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm giving out several nuggets today. They're all found in His Word. Your hope can only be found in Jesus Christ. You've got to stop putting your hope in mankind, in people, in things. And here's what I see a lot of. The more I've prayed about the service this morning and the people that would be here, here's what I know. There's people and you're sitting right in your seat and you've got things going on in your life and you're trying to sit there and be two or three steps ahead and you want to put your hope in this one. And if this don't work out, then we're going to do this. And if that don't work out, we're going to do this. You need to stop trying to do God's job because exactly how it's supposed to happen, it's going to fall right into place. What you've got to do is say, yes, Lord, do that, Lord. Yes, I'm going to let God do what He does best. You've got to put your hope, all of your eggs, in the God basket.
Amen.
And if you're always the victim and you're always the one discouraged and disappointed, that's a you problem.
Amen.
Because see, look here, God's the only one that's not going to let you down. He's the only one that's not going to let you down. Therefore, you can rely on Him. Put all your hope in Him. How does that look like in modern day? Well, it looks something like this, Cece. God, I don't know what's going to happen, but Lord, I know everything that's going to go on. You've ordained it. God, if it's a storm I'm going to walk through, then Daddy God, let's just go through the storm in this season. Lord, if it's victory, let's go through the victory. Whatever it is, Lord, I thank You. We got to stop praying prayers where we're saying, God, zap me out of this. I don't want to be in this trial. Because you know what? Some of your growth comes from walking through the trial. He can't just zap you out of everything. Do you want any growth in your life? How does He produce the growth? He prunes us. He cuts off the part that can't produce growth. And that is painful. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him. No matter what, God, I'm going to praise You. No matter what, God, I'm going to praise you. No matter what, I'm going to praise you. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. There's an ownership that's got to take place there. There's an ownership that has to take place. I'm going to praise God no matter what. You are either saved or you're not. And you got to figure out what you are. Amen. God wants you to praise him when you've had the worst news ever. God wants you to praise him in the storm, in the valley, on the mountain. He wants your praise. He wants your praise. Does he have it? Does he have it? There's times where your praise is a sacrifice because you ain't feeling it. He wants it anyways. He wants it anyways. God is our source, and that's why we should put our hope in him. God is the source. If you're looking at anything else and anybody else to supply you the things that money can't give. Hear me. See, if money could go out and just buy some things that we actually needed, well, we'd have it made. We'd find somehow to get that. I want to talk to you today about the things that money can't buy. You have to understand that God is the supplier of those things. And you got to put your hope in him, and you've got to know that you're asking God the Father to give you those things, and that he's well able, that he's well able to do it. Amen. Go with me to Psalms chapter 62. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. And that baby is not bothering me. Lord, I thank you right now for baby Oakley. God, I thank you that he's the head and that he's not the tail. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you set his little body in order right now in the name of Jesus. God, he's the head and he's not the tail. Lord, I thank you that he walks in divine health and in divine healing right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalms chapter 62 and verse 5. Here's another conversation. Find rest, O my soul. Find rest, O my soul. Find rest, O my soul. One of the most healing things for your physical body is rest. For your spiritual self, rest. For your soul, rest. Find rest, O my soul. And here's where we find it. In God alone. In God alone. That's the only place. Are you at rest spiritually? You can make yourself physically ill by getting this part of God's word wrong. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. You know, God is sovereign. And he's a jealous God, and he's not going to have any other gods before him. And when it comes to you, he wants to be alone with you. There needs to be time that's etched out just for him and you. Because in those moments, he's going to define you, and that's how you're going to know who you are. That's going to be how you know where to go, what decisions to make, when to hold them, when to fold them, when to walk away. How does that happen? We get along with God and we find those things out. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. See, your hope ain't coming from nobody else. Ain't coming from nobody else. He alone is my rock and my salvation. There's got to be an ownership there. Is He your God just when things are going wrong, or is He your God all the time? You got to figure out who God is to you and what kind of a Christian you're going to be. And being one that only comes to church on Sunday and that's all you do, that's not going to cut it. We can't take vacations from God. And we can't take vacations from His house either. Right. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. And if there's anything that I'm seeing right now in the lives of believers, it's people being shaken to their core that claim to be believers. Has any of you ever heard that song? We sing it here sometimes. I shall not be... Casey, where are you? Come on. I want people to stay in the pew, not leave. Y'all stand to your feet, because see, we're gonna do some things in here today. I love singing, but I love singing for a purpose. Sing, I shall not be moved. And get out here where everybody can see you. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to explain something to you. Church really is not a spectator sport. And when I say that, this is what I mean. If you just sit there like a bump on a log and you don't get involved, guess what? You're going to get nothing out of church, because that's what you're giving to it. You want to get something out of church, you get involved in church. And you get involved in your church. Amen. When these kids and these people get up here and they start singing for the glory of God, I don't want to hear what songs that you don't like that they sung, because I don't care if you like that song. I'm asking you to worship God whether you liked it or not. Amen. Amen. Now, sister over here doesn't need to be singing this song by herself, because, see, God wants you to get involved in your life. Amen. God wants you to get involved in your life. And there's some people, and they ain't involved in their own life. They're just sitting, and life is passing them by. Well, guess what? It's going to keep passing you by, and you're going to keep getting older, and you're going to blink, and you're going to have some things pass you by. Guess what? God wants you to get involved in your life. God wants you to get excited about what He's got for you. Now, I'm going to ask you to sing this, not for my sake, but for your sake. Amen. Amen.
I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Let's just sing the I shall not be, because see, we're okay. Going to get people involved. We'll do it for 30 minutes, but see, we're going to get involved, because God wants you to get involved in your life. If this is making you uncomfortable, guess what? You can either leave, or you're going to have 30 more minutes of uncomfortable, because we're going to get it down. We're going to get this down. I'm dead serious. This wasn't even in the message. God's begging somebody in here to get involved in their life, in your own life. See, nothing happens by accident. Are you past the accident thing? See, nothing's there are no coincidences. There's no accidents. But Casey, God's got to get people to get involved in their own life. All right. Y'all got to sing with her. Come on now.
I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved.
Now, I'm serious. I'm not doing this to be funny. But see, it's work to get people on the right track. You need to sing this. Amen.
Amen.
Sing it like you believe it. Because see, it's one thing to sit there and say the word of God, but if you don't believe it, it can't do anything for you. I want you to sing like you know that you can't be moved. How do you know that you can't be moved? Because the Word of God says that when you've done everything that you can do to stand, then your job is to stand there. See, I shall not be moved. God has held you up. He hasn't let you go down. He hasn't let you be swallowed up. God wants to know, and every demon in hell needs to hear you singing this song.
Amen.
All right. Daddy, do you want a microphone? Strum along. Because see, we're going to all get this right. Because see, what the devil does is the devil gets people in a church service and he tries to get them to be, oh, this isn't important. No, this could be the most important part of the service. And I want a microphone where people can hear me. Where's the other one? Nobody knows. I'm going to just get it working. All right, girls, start singing again. Don't wait on Daddy. He's done this for all his life. He can jump in with you. Let's go. And Bella, I want you to sing too. This is very important. I want to hear you. I want to hear them.
Okay, good.
Not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved.
I shall not be, I shall not be moved.
I shall not be, I shall not be moved.
I shall not be,
I shall not be moved.
I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved. I shall not be, I shall not be moved.
Amen. Psalm 62. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 18 and 19. Or 8 and 9, sorry. Psalms chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. I have set the Lord always before me. See, if God is for you, who could ever be against you? But what you got to do is you got to live this part of the verse out where you have set him before you. You've set him before what you want to do. You've set his purpose before what you purposed, what you wanted. You've set what his will was before you did what you wanted to do. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. You can either live and speak the promises of God, or you can fall by the wayside. And I'm begging you this morning to get a part of his word. I'm begging you this morning to live out the word of God that tells you that you can live a life and not be shaken. When everything around you is being shook up, you don't have to be. The devil would love to just rock your world and get you to wondering what's up and what's down and what's going to happen and all this stuff. See, that's God's job. What's your job? To stand on his word and say, I'm not going to be shaken right now in the name of Jesus. I've got this that wants to come against me, but I refuse to be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. So you got to get your heart and your mouth in one mind and one accord. You need to be rejoicing. You need that heart to be glad. If the devil can get you down, he'll get you down. Do you have control over your feelings? Yes, you do. You got to get them in line with the word. Is it a problem or a sin to feel a certain way? No, but you can't stay in the negative. You can't stay in the ditch. They overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. See, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. You need to make sure that your mouth is coming in line with the word of God. Because see, a lot of people, this is where they go wrong. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm just terrible. Everything's just awful. And you always got a problem. Guess what? You'll always have a problem. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're fighting a physical ailment, you need to speak healing over your body. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I am healed by his stripes. The word of God tells me that I am. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. God's trying to get some people healed up in here today. My body also will rest secure. My body will also rest secure. I'm going to tick half of you off and I'm going to inspire the other half. But here we go. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Hallelujah. If you lay down and you let whatever. I know I'm going to tick people off. Okay, we'll see who you are next Sunday when you don't come back. You can't let sickness and infirmity live your life for you.
That's right. That's right.
And that's the best politically correct way that I can say that. It's not going to get no better than that.
That's right.
If every single time you're sick and you're this and you're that, you're going to always be, you're going to choose how you're going to live. You're going to live down and out or you're going to live blessed. You're going to have to decide.
Amen.
You're going to have to decide. Sickness comes. It rains on the just and the unjust. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Dodie Osteen. They told her that she had to die. She had to. Diagnosed her with terminal cancer. She chose to not be shaken.
That's right.
She chose that. And I'm telling you that you have a choice. The first thing she did was she got into His Word. And she found every scripture that pleaded her case. What case? The healing that can only come from Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change, and that's why you can count on Him.
Amen. Amen.
She wrote it all over her house. She looked it up. She began to read the verses till the verses read her. I believe that she was told that when she was in her 30s. Frank, look that up for me. Dodie Osteen. She died in her 90s.
Amen.
Cancer free.
Amen.
Of natural causes. God is asking people today. This is none of this is even my message, and it's making me feel insecure, but I'm going to preach His Word.
Amen. Thank you.
God is asking people in here to take Him for everything that He said. And you can't do that if you don't know what He said.
Right.
You've got to know it. Because it's a matter of life and death for you. You've got to know it to stand on it. Stop living off of your mama's faith. Stop living off of your daddy's faith. Start living and getting your own faith, because that's what your bread and butter is right there.
Right.
I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest secure. Go back with me now. I'm going to actually read verses 10 and 11. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. How important is it to be in the presence of God? Of the utmost importance. And with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Go with me to Psalm 62 and verse 7. Psalm 62, verse 7. We've talked about rest today. We've talked about taking ownership that He's our God. Your hope is only coming from Him. God and God alone. Now we're going to read verse 7. My salvation and my honor depend on God. I'm going to say this again. My salvation and my honor depend on God. Those things depend on God. They don't depend on anybody else. My honor depends on the Lord. It doesn't depend on who defends me. Doesn't depend on what somebody thinks of me. It doesn't depend on what somebody says of me. That depends on God.
Amen.
Your honor That depends on God. Your salvation, that depends on God. The other day, God is really working with me on my enemies because I've handled them wrong and he's helping me to see that. And I said, I don't want to be around that person because I knew they had talked bad about the church. And I wanted to give you a real nugget. Some words that you need to live by and live out. You should never talk bad about a church. I don't care what you think of them.
Right.
Don't talk to me bad about another church. I don't want to hear no crap about other pastors. You don't know what it's like to be a pastor.
Right.
But you should never talk bad about another church. You should never do that.
Right.
That is a good way to bring things on your life that you don't want. You should never do that. And I said, well, I don't think I want that person on my property sitting beside us handing out stuff. God says, Kelly, you're wrong. That's exactly who you want. That's exactly who you want. Because look here, God wants to show your enemy some things about you, and you can't do that when you don't have them close to you sometimes.
Right.
Well, God, they've badmouthed the church. I don't want them over here at the church with me. Oh, no, Kelly, you do. You do. And nobody can make people eat their words better than the living God.
Right.
I've had people talk bad about me for being a woman pastor. Look here, I'm going to own that. You think it's easy being a woman pastor in the South and then you put a divorce label on that? That ain't easy. But look here, no matter what people think of me, God has backed me. I have stood there when most people would have left.
Amen.
That's because I'm called to do it.
That's right.
People need to know who they are. We can't have Christians just flying willy-nilly by the seat of their pants not knowing who they are in Jesus. You got to know who you are. Because every demon in hell is going to try to shake you up about it and confuse you. You got to know who you are. And you've got to know who God says that you are.
Amen.
I said, well, I don't want them around me, Lord. He said, no, you do. You do. Because, Kelly, your honor depends on me. It doesn't depend on you. Oh, well, I don't like this person. They didn't vote the same way I did. Get over it.
Amen.
That's stupid. Christians are turning so petty.
Yes, they are.
You ain't going to find this type of message anywhere in Logan County, I promise you.
Amen.
But I'll keep it real. If you're one of the petty ones, you need to quit. And guess what? I'm preaching this message to me because I can be the pettiest one of all of us. Thank you, sweetie. He knows it. Thank God I don't got my own TV show or something. I'd have to go preach some other country half the time. Go with me to Psalm 46. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. God loves you in here.
Amen.
God wants you to live long, and he wants you to live strong. He wants you to live with your purpose. When you're told something that you don't want to hear, you need to understand that at the end of the day, it really matters what God says. It matters what God says. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, and she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. God is the one that's going to help you. That is where your help comes from. Go with me to Psalm chapter 23. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5. The Lord is my shepherd. If you're someone in here and you're saying, I'd like to read the Bible, I don't even know where to start. Open up Psalms, get to chapter 23, get to where you know that verse by heart and begin to speak it over your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What are the green pastures? The pastures where you have plenty. The pastures where it's good and pretty and it's not all dead up in there. Amen? He leads me beside quiet waters. See, God don't want you always in an upheaval where you're just all emotionally charged constantly. You can't live in chaos. And unfortunately, a lot of the chaos that we live in is internally. You're going to have to get that worked out. He leads me beside quiet waters, and He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. God loves you in here today. He loves you. He wants you to get involved in your life. How do you get involved in your life? You look in your life and you see which parts are lacking, and you go and you find those verses and you begin to name them and you begin to claim them and you begin to read them and you begin to put them over your house. You begin to live out the word. You begin to challenge yourself to come above. See, how can you be the head and not the tail if you won't challenge yourself to live out the word? Amen. Now here's what I want to know. Because I am very sensitive to people in here that have a sickness. Now, I'm not talking about the sniffles. We'll pray about those tonight. And yes, the church is open on Sunday night at 5:30. And yes, you should come. You'd love it. I want to pray for people, and you say, I've got a very bad physical illness and I need prayer, and if God don't do something, it's not going to look good for me. I want you to come up here and stand. If that embarrasses you, God don't want you to be embarrassed, but you know what? Your faith is activated by you. Amen. Is there anybody sick? I'm going to stand right here. I'll tell each one of you, God has healing for you. God still heals. He still delivers. He still sets the captive free. Now I'm going to ask you something that matters the most. That matters the most. Do you believe that God can heal you? Do you believe it? Because that's what it takes. Do you believe? We're going to go by. Here's one of the things that I want you to do. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Here's what I'll tell you. The healing was already paid for. It's already been paid for, Brother Scott. He paid for it. How did he pay for it? By every stripe that he received for us. The stripes bought the healing. What's left for us? Belief. Believing. Believing. Whatever sickness it is that you've got, maybe it's arthritis, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's this, maybe it's what. I don't know what it is. I don't have to know. But I want you to do one thing for the living God. Stop owning it. Don't say my cancer. Don't say my this and my that. If you want to get rid of it and you want it out of your body, stop owning it. Amen. I'm going to begin to pray. Daddy, come with me. Y'all scoot down this way. We're going to pray. I believe.